he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah. Lord, we bless you on this afternoon, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for what we see. Lord, but more important, we thank you for the things that you kept us from that we don't see. Now, Lord, as we assemble together in thy presence on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you to send a word of anointing. Lord, break every yoke. Lord, we ask you to loose the captives. Lord, those that are broken heart, we ask you to heal. Lord, free the troubled mind, the addicted mind, the mind that's just wavered. Lord, we ask you to heal it. And send thy word, and we know that thy word, you sent your word, and it healed us. Now, Lord, send thy word, and for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Verse 17 of Romans 4 says, the latter part is what I'm more interested in. Said, God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. In essence, it said God can do anything. There are no limitations on God. Then verse 19 says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Amen. Dead means it was not able to yet produce. But God does what? Quickeneth
the dead.
In other words, God is able to bring to life that which is dead. Amen. Said he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was 90. Amen. So Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. But God quickened the dead. Amen. So our message on this afternoon, our message is probably what a lot of you have been thinking to say to each other. Amen. So I'm going to give you permission to look at your neighbor and tell them what you've been thinking. Amen. Yes, you've been thinking it. You haven't said it, but you thought it. Amen. Look at them and tell them, you don't?
Don't.
Come on, you don't?
Don't.
Have to stay like that.
Don't.
Come on, look at somebody. You've been thinking it anyway. You've been thinking it anyway. You probably said it to somebody else.
Come on.
You don't have to stay. You don't have to stay like that. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes as people, we get in such a place of complacency. And we receive have such a spirit of apathy that we think things are going to be the same way forever, that they're never going to change. But you don't have to stay like that. Now, we often make reference to Abraham. But Abraham, but today we're going to focus on Sarah or Sarah. Amen. Because Sarah's womb was shut up for 90 years. Amen. 90 years she could not produce. And then we just read in the scripture, it says that her body was now dead. In other words, a part of nature which was necessary to produce is now dead. Can somebody say, but God?
But God.
That's why you don't have to stay like you are. I don't care what the condition is. You don't have to stay like that because of God. Amen. And you know, let's just look at Sarah for a few minutes before we go to St. John's chapter 5. Sarah, in the beginning when they left Ur of the Chaldeans, and God had made Abraham the promise that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So they went out not knowing. That's when you know you can trust God. When God asks you to do something, you'll say, God, I'm not going until you give me the whole plan. That's something, our problem a lot of times. We can't see the end. But how many know that God declared the end? Come on, God declared the end from the beginning. So I don't have to see the end because I know whom I'm trusting. And I know who I'm persuaded, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Not until just now, but what? Till the end. Well, they didn't know the end, but they trusted God. So they left Ur of the Chaldeans, and God kept telling Abram, I'm going to make you a blessing. Amen. But Sarah knew that she hadn't had a child, so she tried to circumvent. She tried to get around what God had. But look at somebody and tell her, Sarah.
Sarah.
Come on, look at her baby, Sarah. Yeah, Sarah. Sarah. You don't have to say that way. Lord, I don't know what you're going through, but I tell you, you don't have to stay that way. Now, Sarah was like this how long? 9 years. Somebody said, I've been struggling with this for a little while. You don't have to stay that way. Amen? So Sarah got a little frustrated, and she said, well, God, I just can't see how this is going to work. So she said, I'm going to give Abram, my husband, Hagar, my maidservant, so that he can have a seed, because I can't figure out how God is going to do this. Sarah didn't understand, I haven't had a child. I believe they were about 80, she was about 80, no, about 70, and Abram was about 80-something at this time. She said, it hasn't happened yet, guess what? It's never going to happen. How many of us this afternoon have quit on God because we don't realize the awesome working power of our God? Certainly, I don't know what you're going through, but you don't have to stay that way. The scripture we read said Abraham was strong in faith, but Sarah gave Abram, her maidservant Hagar, to serve a child. And when the child was born, then Hagar despised Sarah, and God told, basically, when she began to chide or deal with Sarah, she dealt harshly with her, saying she fled. Amen. And then, and even as Sarah at this time realized that she was despised, she goes to her husband and said, "My wrong be upon thee." In other words, she said, "You made the decision. Look at this mess that we're presently in." Why? Because she thought she was going to be that way forever. So because she didn't see by faith what God could do, because she couldn't figure out what God was going to do, that's why the scriptures say, oh, the depth of the riches. Yes. Hallelujah. Both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You know what Paul said? He said his ways are past and his ways are, you cannot figure out God. All God asks you to do is just believe. You don't have to figure it out. But Sarah, amen, you know how everybody has those motherly instincts. Amen. They want to try to figure out the end from the beginning. But not so with God. She couldn't understand how God was going to do it. So Sarah tried to get around what God was going to do, and Hagar had Ishmael. Amen. And then some time went by after Hagar had Ishmael, and Sarah still had not had a seed. Amen. So, and if we go to, we're not going to go there, but if you read in Genesis 18 chapter, when Abram was 99 and Sarai was 89, the Lord appeared unto them. Just to show you, you know, have you ever heard, what's vicarious faith? Vicarious faith is when you have to have faith for somebody else until they get it. Vicarious faith, you have faith for somebody else until they get it. Amen. If you read in Mark, the second chapter, remember the man that had the palsy, was born by four in the bed? Amen. And Jesus was in the house preaching and teaching. And they tried to get in the house, but they couldn't get in because of the crowd. So these four men took their friend up on the roof, took the roof off, and let the man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, according to not his faith, but according to their faith. That's what vicarious faith is. You keep faith alive enough till the person finally gets it. Amen. You don't have to stay that way. And I'm sure the man that had the palsy or that had the infirmity couldn't figure out how God's going to do it. And as they were trying to get him in and get him out, but Jesus said, because of their faith. He said, because you have faith, he told the man, he said, now take up your bed and walk. But it didn't start with the man, it started with the vicarious faith. It started with the faith of others. I don't know what you've been praying and asking God to do. I until they found again. Amen. But Sarah, she just kept doubting God. First, Hagar had Ishmael. It didn't work. So the Lord appeared unto Abram and some of the angels in the heat of the day, and they came to Abram and they said, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And he said, "Well, she's in the tent." And then the angel spoke to Abram and said, "About this time." Oh, Lord, thank you. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Come on, can we say thank you, Jesus? He said, "About this time next year." Hallelujah. The appointed time. The angel was telling Sarah, "You don't understand it. You can't figure it out, but you won't be like this forever. Amen. You will not stay in this condition." Yes. But Sarah has an issue still. When she heard the angel of the Lord speak and say that she was going to have a child, the scripture says she laughed within herself. If you notice, all throughout the scripture, the Bible never talks about Sarah having faith. It always talks about Abram having faith, or Abraham. Amen. So Abram was practicing vicarious faith. He had to keep his faith strong and alive until Sarah finally got it. Amen. So Sarah laughed within herself. She said, "Impossible." Everybody got some impossible situations. Yes. In situations that's way too hard for anybody else. Sarah said, "Impossible." She laughed within herself. And the angel of the Lord said, "Abram, why did Sarah laugh? Did she laugh out loud?" No. That's how you know it was God that was speaking. Because he knew that she laughed. Oh, God help us. Some of us this afternoon might be laughing at our situation within ourselves. But God can do anything.
Yes,
you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay bound by what has you bound. You don't have to stay afflicted and addicted by what's controlling you. You don't have to
stay that way. Hallelujah.
Don't give up on God, because God will never give up on you. Hallelujah. I wonder how many this afternoon have given up on God because they can't figure out what God has to do. Amen. So Sarah laughed. For 25 years, Abraham's faith had to carry Sarah until she finally got it. Amen. Some 25 years, the promise and waiting. But thank God for Abraham. The Bible said he was strong in faith. Amen. Even when he couldn't see it, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Because he knew when God had spoken, he was able to perform. Now, we know this afternoon that God has spoken some things into our life. He's able to perform. You don't have to stay that way. I don't know what it is, and I don't know who it is, and I don't know what the circumstances are. Amen. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Don't get complacent.
Amen.
Kill the spirit of apathy. Amen. Get rid of that spirit of empathy. You don't need nobody to feel sorry. Amen. All you need is faith in God. Hallelujah. Whatever the situation is, give it to God. Did not Jesus say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden"? He said, "I'm going to give you." Trying to figure out how come I don't have rest. The reason we don't have rest is because we won't give it to Jesus. Lord, I bless your name. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Amen. Sarah left within herself, and he asked Abram, he said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" But Sarah was afraid. She still had not got it. Sarah's blessing came because of the vicarious faith of Abraham. Abraham carried her faith for 25 years. And then Sarah finally got it. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, "You need to get it." Come on, look at somebody. somebody and tell them it's a conviction. You need to get it. And I wish you had one of them personal mirrors. I wish you had one of them personal compacts. So you can hold it in front of you and say, you need to get it. Hallelujah. You don't need to have somebody else get it before you get it.
All right.
Amen. You need God to do it for you. So God asks Sarah the question. Amen. She said, I did not laugh. God said, listen, I'm going to dispute with you. You know how we do stuff, and then we try to guilt God. Oh, God, that's not God. I said, wait a minute. Don't even go there. I knew the doubt you had when you started. I knew you didn't believe when you started. God said, don't go there. He said, Sarah, you did laugh. Beginning and end. Don't go no further. But then he answered a question. He said, the problem is you forgot who I am. You forgot the exceeding greatness of my power. You forget that I only have to speak and the whole world came into existence. You don't realize that all I have to do is know that I'm part of the Red Sea. He said, you don't realize who I am, Sarah. He said, is there anything? Hallelujah, is there anything too hard for God? You know what happened? Sarah finally got it. For 25 years, she rode on the vicarious faith of Abraham. But she finally got it. But you know, the tendency we think is this way. I've been doing this for 90 years. And it hasn't changed. Amen. If a lot of us were Sarah, we would have threw in the towel. Amen. We would have just given up. I keep hearing God's word. I keep hearing God's promises, but I don't see the change. Many of us come to church and we hear the same word of God, the word of truth, the word of conviction, but in our hearts we are laughing and we're doubting God. Amen. Can somebody say, I finally got it. Do you really get it? Do you really get it? If you get it, then you have a promise that you don't have to stay that way. Mind afflicted. Hallelujah. No peace of mind, no rest in the soul, because you have not yet got it. Let's go to St. John chapter 5. Let's deal with some individuals. Amen. I'm not going to keep you forever. But we need to get it.
Yes, sir.
We need to finally get, you know, the good thing about God, I heard somebody say earlier, his mercies are new what?
Everyone.
I don't know how much you messed up in the past. Do you realize it took Sarah 25 years of mess ups? 25 years of mess ups. 25 years of doubting God. 25 years of questioning God. Before she finally got it. Amen. But you can be assured that she had to get it, because God would not have been able to help her if she did not get it. Because he that cometh to God must believe. You can't get from God if you doubt. You can't get the deliverance that you need if you doubt. Amen. And how many know the devil is the devil? Every time God promises you a deliverance, he comes back and reverses that and makes you doubt God. And God said, okay, I got to let you go a little longer because you still have not yet got it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait 25 years.
Amen.
Amen. I want to finally get it. Verse 1 of St. John chapter 5 reads, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Near there, Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, which means the house of mercy. Thank God for what? Mercy. I heard somebody say, mercy keeps you until grace kicks in. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy keeps you till grace kicks in. Well, what is grace? Grace is God's help when you finally need it. You won't get the change until you let God's grace kick in. Having five porches, In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for. They were just waiting. Anybody just waiting today? Amen. Waiting for the moving of the Lord. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And so whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made of whatsoever. How Lord, I need to step in that pool. Amen. We need to have a pool like that. Amen.
Amen.
You don't need it. All you need is faith in God. Let God fix it for you. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity. You don't have to stay that way. He had that infirmity how long? 38 years. Amen. The next verse says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he said unto him, that's one of those questions don't really make sense. Amen. Jesus knew he'd been like that. So didn't the Lord know he wanted to be made? But it took the confession from the man's mouth for him to be made whole. Amen. He said, that seemed like one of those foolish questions. He's been waiting at that pool all this time, and you're going to ask, will God? I don't know how long you've been going through it. I pray that it hasn't been 38 years, and most of us in here are younger than 38, so I'm sure you haven't been waiting 38 years. And if you're older than 38, amen, you haven't been married and having trouble that long, so you haven't been waiting that long. But Jesus was about to reveal to the man, you don't have to stay that way. Hallelujah. The important man did what? Answered him. Will thou this afternoon be made whole? Will whatever that trial is, do you want God to heal it? Do you want God to make a way? Hallelujah. He answered him and said, sir. Now, it's important, when, especially you Bible scholars, when you read the Bible, you see that sir is capitalized. That ain't no little sir. Amen. That sir is a Greek word, kurios. And that Greek word, kurios, means Lord, Master, Messiah. There was something about the way Jesus talked to the man. The man realized this ain't an ordinary man. This ain't just anybody. He said, sir, which means Master, Lord, and Messiah. You know, now a lot of us, just to create a false sense, a false scenario. Amen. This ain't you. Look at somebody and say, this ain't you. Unless it's you. This ain't you. Unless it's you. If some of us had been in that situation where somebody asked us something, we would have ran it from when it first started to what we are today. You don't understand what I've been through. I've been through this, I've been through that. I tell everybody it has not changed. But the man. Hallelujah. Ain't no use of me telling them about all the troubles. He said, Lord, Master, Messiah. Amen. And if you read a little later, you'll tell he don't even know who Jesus is. And when you drop down a little further, he didn't even know who Jesus was. But it was something about when the Master talks. Hallelujah, when you have an ear to hear what the Spirit says, is something different. The man said, I don't know his name, but I know there's power in what he's telling me. Can we say power?
Power.
Oh, y'all gonna help me?
Power.
If you don't help me, I'll go by myself. He says, sir, I have. That's the best position for you to be in right now. The doctor can't fix it. Your husband can't fix it. Your wife, your mother, your grandmother, the doctor, the lawyer, nobody else can fix it. I have
no
man. Thank you, Lord. That's the best place to be in when a man opportunities. Now it's time for only God to move in and make a way out of. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another stepping down. You know what? He had a spirit of preservation. He had a spirit to persevere, rather. He did not quit. How long was he been doing it?
For a long time.
He said, but Lord, every time I try to step in, somebody else. You don't feel like that, Lord. I've been praying for that. How did you get it? You don't have to say that way.
Right.
Just keep your faith in God. Amen. The next verse says, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk about right now.
Hallelujah.
I said right about right now. If that was us, what would we do? I would have got up and walked. No, you wouldn't, because God's been speaking to you. And your situation hasn't changed because you don't realize who is the Master. You don't realize who is the Lord. You don't realize who is the Messiah. You don't realize when he came down, he said, oh, power. Can we say, oh, power? Now, earlier we read in this same chapter, how many people were there? There was a what? Great multitude. Amen. How many got healed? A great multitude, how many got healed? So Jesus tells them, now take up your bed and walk. It's time for you, you know, you think, he didn't just say take up your bed and walk, he said do what first? Rise. Whatever your situation is, it's time for you to rise. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I can feel it in my hands. I can feel it in my feet. I can feel it all over me. My God's not dead. He's yet alive. You need to get up from that position you're in. You need to rise. You need to stand. And you need to go and say, Lord, I can do it. Can the church say hallelujah? Don't have to say that way. Amen. And the next verse said, what did the man do? He rose. He didn't wait till tomorrow. That's our problem when we need something for God. We want to keep waiting. And well, what are you waiting? I'm just waiting for more confirmation. If he already said it, you don't believe he's able to bring it to pass? Doesn't the scripture say God is not a man that he should lie? Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, you don't think he's able to do it. And then Titus said God cannot lie. And then Paul writes to the Hebrew brethren and said it's impossible for God to tell a lie. So if you've heard it, what you've heard, God is able to do it. The problem is you have not yet risen up. You stand down. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to walk. Say so. It's time for you to get out of that doldrum. It's time for you to get out of that pit. It's time for you to change that mindset and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Because you don't have to stay that way. Hallelujah. Sarah was like that for 25 years. The important man was like that for how long? 38 years. But when God speaks, Lord, just speak it to my situation. When God speaks, then we're going to go one more chapter, Acts chapter 3. We want to deal with some impossible situations. To let you know your situation is not even close to theirs. But they believe God. Now let me ask you a question. When Jesus spoke to the man that was important at the pool, Did Jesus have faith? Yes. Jesus used vicarious faith to speak faith into the impotent man. A lot of us have been crying and bellyaching and just dealing with the same situation. Use your faith now to speak faith into that situation. Use your faith. Jesus had faith. And because of his faith, he was able to speak to the important man, and the important man was healed. When Jesus was in the house in Capernaum and they brought the man on the bed, his friends had faith. And because of their faith, the man eventually got faith and was healed. Now, this is another impossible situation. Amen. This man, if we read verse 1. Amen. We're almost finished, but I just need to let you know you don't have to say like that. The devil is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. And he has saints of God who God is fighting for you. And the scripture said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Well, if God is for you and nothing can be against you, why are your situation not changes? It's not God. It's not the situation. It's not the devil. You need to finally get it. How do you get it? The just shall walk. The just shall live by faith. The just don't walk by sight, but they walk by faith. You got to have faith. Amen. You know what? I don't care what the whole world says can't happen. God says it can. And that's all you need. You don't have to stay. You know, the job, the house, what you need to say, God, you know what? You said, I'm just going to bank on it and I'm going forward. God tells us something, and the next day we all depressed. Scripture says we're supposed to get joy out of the wells of salvation. Don't have no joy. Your well ran dry. Amen. You don't miss your water to the what? Your well was ran dry a long time ago. But the salvation is still in it. It just takes joy to bring the water out of the well of salvation. You need to have joy. In Acts 4, verse 22, we're not going to go there. We'll start verse 3. But in Acts 4, 22, we'll start in Acts 3. 22 said this man was in this condition for over 40 years, just to give you some history. Amen. How long?
40 years.
Anybody been going through anything for 40 years? 40 years? All right, let's say 50 years. Most of y'all ain't even 50, so y'all ain't been going through it that long. Amen. You ain't been going through it that long, so you don't have to stay like that. God changed Sarah. Sarah went through how many years? 90. Did God change it? Did he change it?
Yes, he did.
The important man at the pool was how long? 38 years. Now this man is going through it for over 40 years. And there are others, but we're not going to intrude on your patience or time to go through them all. Unless you tell me to. Amen. All right. I got it. I understand. You heard about it. I'm right about it. But you need to finally get it. As a church, we need to finally get it. The strength of the church is the strength of the saints. Weak saints, I don't care how many are strong, but make a weak church. Because the chain is only as strong as its what? We're all a link in the chain. And if we're strong everywhere, except for at the fifth link we break, and then at the tenth link we break, and then at the 15th, the chain is not strong. So instead of us getting stronger and stronger, the chain keeps breaking. Because we will always break at the what? Weakest link. Verse 1 says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid out. Now he couldn't walk, so they had to carry him. At the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seen Peter and John about to go in the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John said, you know what they was telling him? He said, you know what? We got faith. Our faith is going to help you. The man didn't understand when he said, look on. You need to look on some stuff that's in the Bible. You need to look on some healers that's in the neighborhood. You need to look on some healers that's in the church. It's time to look on us. Well, how do you look? By faith. He said, look on us. Amen. And the man was expecting something else. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you to stay like that. You're asking for this. God said, no, I'm going to heal you.
Right.
Amen. But the carnal mind reasons carnally. That's why the Bible said the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So God is trying to move us in the church up to a spiritual level, but we can't get out the carnal mind. So God is trying to do a miracle, and you keep trying to get you a little blessing. The miracle is greater than the blessing, but the carnal mind. The carnal mind won't let you believe God. So he was expecting to receive some money to stay in the same situation that he was in. That's what the carnal mind will do. It'll keep you bound. It'll keep you in the same situation. Lord, but will you believe God? Amen. Then Peter said, what you expect we don't have. Cyrano have I not, but such as I have, give I thee. It's time to use the name. Didn't minister again bring that out last week about the name? Hallelujah. Amen. A little later in chapter 4, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were dealing with the apostles about healing the man, they said, by what power? Then they said, forget the power. They said, in whose name?
Jesus.
Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
They realized it's not just the power, but it had to be something in the name.
Yeah.
I said it had to be something in the name.
Yeah.
They realized that you can't do anything in just any name. They said, by what power, better yet, in what name did you heal this man? Somebody said there's power in the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He had to do one verse. Rise up. Your situation, you got to rise up above that. Did not God tell the children of Israel when he delivered them out of Egypt? He said, did not I carry you on my eagle's wings? We know what God was saying. He said, you know what? I brought you up above the storms in your life that were in Egypt. God is able to rise you up above your situations if you believe God. He told the children of Israel, he said, I and only I carried you on eagle's wings. You know, it's something about our God. It's something about our God. Something about those wings. Something about those feathers. No wonder the scriptures say he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Where you've been abiding, where you've been hiding, and where you've been dwelling. It's time to come out of there. So he said, rise up and walk as we stand. You don't have to stay in that situation. Oh, you got me off. That's right. The next verse does say, I'll read it here. The next verse, after he told them to rise up above, it says, and they took him, verse 7, by the right hand and lifted him up. And the man at the pool happened how? Immediately. When you really finally get it, God doesn't have to take a long time to change your circumstances. It says, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones. Now, I wonder what you're going to do when God heals your situation. Amen. Because the 8th verse said, and he
leaping.
Lord, I thank you. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been dying, I've dry, dead, gone for a long time. But it said, he leaping up, walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and praising God. As the elders and the altar workers come forward, it's time for us to do some leaping. It's time for us to be doing some praising. I heard the story years ago in Pentecost, the apostolic faith. It said every Sunday a man would get up and praise and thank God for his car that he was driving. And some of the saints said, why do you keep thanking God for a car? Every time we see you come to church, you're getting off the bus. Amen. He said, because you see where I am, but I'm thanking God for where I'm going. You need to start praising God for what he's going to do. Don't worry about where you presently are. Amen. He said that eventually he got one of the best cars. And then he thought of himself, I thank God for what I thought of thinking for a long time ago. You need to start thanking God right now for what he's going to do. You don't have to say like that. You don't have to say where you are. You don't have to stay down. You don't have to stay balanced. Amen. As we heard Evangelist Penny say last night, Jesus said, I came to heal the broken heart. I came to set the captives free. Whatever the bondage, whatever the addiction, whatever.